First of all, I want to thank everybody for allowing us to come to your beautiful, beautiful church. This is beautiful. But you know what? It's not the church. You all are the church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother and Sister Stone, for asking us. And it is definitely an honor. I told him, I said, man, I just feel honored that you asked. He said, okay, then my job's done. Don't come. So, but you know what? We're still here. I appreciate Brother Stone. I told Cody, I said, you know, whenever we come, I said, I want to come with a teachable heart. I want to come with a teachable heart. Because here's the thing, whenever you have preachers and pastors that are far more seasoned, they can instill so much into you. And I told him, I said, you know, I want to come and I want to just have a teachable heart so that Brother Stone and Sister Stone can just instill into us. And just thank you all so very much. If everybody would stand, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and get into the Word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for your love. God, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your Word is anointed and it is on fire. God, I thank you, Lord, that your Word is alive. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that I would just crucify this flesh so that you can rise and live within me. I am nothing without you, Lord, but with you and through you, God, we can do all things. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. God, I pray, God, that you would touch every heart here this morning, God, and open up the ears to understand. God, we praise you and we give you all honor and praise in your holy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Psalms 42, and we're going to start in verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. All the waves and the billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, one thing, whenever I began to study this out, and I got to thinking, you know, we hear about the song about the deer that pants after the water, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. And but I got to thinking about the person who must have wrote this, and some believe it was David who wrote it, and they believe it was whenever maybe he was on the run, and he was fearing for his life from Absalom, his son. And but what fear did to David was made him run. And a lot of the times what fear will do in our life will make us run. And what happens a lot of the times when fear comes in our life, most all the time, is fear will abort the plan of God. Fear will come in and it will actually destroy and it will tear down who we are actually supposed to be. When God calls us to do something, when God calls us to be somewhere, a lot of the times the enemy will send fear in to abort the plan. And what David had found himself, where he had found himself, was far away from the presence of God. I'll say that again in case we didn't get it. Where David found himself was far away from the presence of God. And whenever we run, that's where we go. We go. We go far away from the presence of God. It's time to take our running shoes off and it's time to stand firm. However, when David began to run, he began to pant and he began to long. He began to get thirsty and he began to get hungry for the presence of God that he once remembered. It talks on down in the scripture where he remembered that he was in the house of God, if you will. He remembered when he was in the congregation of the people that praised and worshiped God. He remembered. It's time whenever we get to a state of depression like he was in, because if you keep on reading and you begin to study it, you will see that the psalmist who wrote this was in a state of depression. What happened whenever he was in the state of depression, it says his tears became his meat. He laid in a fetal position, if you will. Try to go here with me in your mind. Whenever people get depressed, they'll lay in a fetal position and they allow the tears to be their meat. They're not hungry for food that will sustain them physically, because the tears take over. The pain and the agony of depression takes over. And that's where David was at this time. He was in that state of depression. And I can just picture him wherever he was at, far from the presence of God, with the tears becoming his meat. But in that state, in that depression, he began to remember. He began to remember what he once felt. He began to remember how awesome the presence of God actually is. He began to remember about his friends, his family, the congregation, the church people, if you will. He began to remember when he would fellowship with them and they would go to the house of God and they would begin to praise and they would begin to worship. It's time we get back to the point that we remember the presence of God. It's time that we get back to the point that we desire, that we're hungry and that we're thirsty for the move of God. Amen. 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 Sometimes we allow life and circumstance to allow our soul to get cast down. We've lost the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the Word of God says, is my strength. When you come into the house of God, your pastor, he can preach the word, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You cannot expect to have joy outside. If you stay outside of the presence of God, you cannot expect to have joy to fill you. You need to come in and hear the word of God so that joy can come alive once again. Amen. Amen. Don't allow fear to run you scared. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I began to look at verse 2. Why did he not just say, my soul thirsts for God? When shall I come and appear before God? I got to looking at that. And I got to looking in the Strong's. The Strong's one I'm studying is my friend. And I got to looking in the Strong's and I got to noticing there's two different numbers for each one of the God that it talks about here. Even though they are the same God, here's a little bit of a different meaning in verse 2. The first God that it talks about is the God Elohim, the true God, the judge, the ruler, the great, the mighty. But then whenever it goes on down and he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Whenever you look up living, it says alive, fresh, reviving, renewal, an appetite, a maintenance, if you will. So he didn't just say, I thirst for God. He said, for the living God, the one that can renew my appetite, the one that can maintain me, the one that is fresh. And then whenever you look at the next God, the living God, it says, my mighty hero, the one true God, Jehovah, the strength, the power. So whenever I look, I'm thirsting after the true God, the judge, the ruler, the great, I'm also looking for the living God, which is one and the same, the one that is alive, the fresh, the reviving, the renewal, the my mighty hero, the one true God, my Jehovah, my provider, my strength and my power. He takes it a step further and saying, just the one that's going to judge me. He is also saying, the one that is going to renew my strength. The one that's going to renew the power of God. Amen. On the inside of me, my mighty hero. We all need a mighty hero today. The world's ugly and it's dark. We need a mighty hero. We need to be hungry and thirsty for the renewal of our mighty hero. Amen? Amen. My tears become my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? I remember these things. I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Again, he's remembering when he worshiped God in spirit and in truth. Big difference. People can have a form of godliness all day long, but it's not going to get you where. It's only whenever you worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's time to get real, people. There's too much fake baloney going on nowadays. It's time to get real. Amen. It's time to remove the fake facade, and it's time to get exposed before God Almighty and to be real. To be real men and women of God. To be real, not to be a fake, to stand pure and holy. We were talking about that a little bit in Sunday school. It's time that we stand before God pure and holy, acceptable. Because anything that's other than pure and holy is not going to be acceptable. We cannot play around and fake God. I promise you that. We can fake each other, but we'll never fake Him. Amen. I remember. Let's get back to remembering, but let's get back to doing further than that. Let's get back to doing. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why am I cast down? He didn't even understand. Why am I depressed? I've allowed someone to run me scared, but why? Why? If I serve a mighty God, my mighty hero, remember? If I serve my mighty hero, why am I depressed? Why am I cast down? I went through a dark time in my life after my grandfather passed away. And you know what? I got depressed. And whenever I tried to realize why I was depressed, I couldn't understand it. I had no idea. I had no idea. I didn't want to be depressed. But I got my focus off of what was important. I began to focus on the situation and the circumstance that was happening in my life, and I allowed depression to come in. But I promise you this, whenever you get your focus on the Master, when you get your focus on the Master, when you get your focus on the Master, there's no room for depression. Amen. Why? Why am I depressed? I just don't understand. Disquieted means there was an uproar that was going on inside of his soul. He was crying aloud without crying. You understand what I'm saying? Have you been around depression? They're crying loudly on the inside, but they're not crying. There's an uproar that's going on in their soul, but they're not saying anything. There's a darkness. Disquieted. There's a growl. There's a rage. What he was saying, there's a war going on the inside of me, and I just don't understand it. I just don't know why that there's this war that's going on the inside of me. What must I do? What must I do? How do I get out of it? How do I get out of this depression? He remembered what praise did. He remembered what praise did and where praise took him. It is imperative whenever we go through dark times in our life that we look up because our redemption draws nigh. It's imperative that we begin to praise through the trials. It's imperative that we begin to praise through the circumstances that goes on in our life. It's imperative that we keep on walking. There's a song that says, I'm going to keep walking, I'm going to keep talking, I'm going to keep singing in Jesus' name. It's imperative that we keep on keeping on and don't stop. Don't stop. And that's what David began to realize. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. What he's saying at this point, it doesn't matter where I'm at in my life. It doesn't matter where I'm at in my life. It doesn't matter how far I traveled. I know how to get back to the Master. I know what it's going to take to get back to the Master. God, and he's declaring, God, no matter where I am, I'm going to worship you. God, no matter where I am, I may be far from the temple where your presence is dwelling, but God, I remember and I know what it takes, and I'm going to make strides to get back to where I'm supposed to be. It's time that we make strides to get back to where we need to be in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All the waves and the billows are going over me. I don't know if you've ever swam in an ocean or not, but when you get out so far, it's hard to swim back to shore because the waves come in and it pulls you. Comes in and it pulls you. Comes in and it pulls you. And whenever I was studying this, I got to thinking about, this is kind of going from one extreme to the other, but I got to thinking about a crocodile. And the Bible talks about Leviathan. If you look that up, that's also referred to as a crocodile. But I got to thinking how a crocodile, it will lay at the brink of the water and it will wait for something that's thirsty. It lays watch and it can sit there for hours upon hours upon hours waiting for that vulnerable victim. Y'all go ahead, try to say that. Anyway, he'll lay there and he'll wait and wait for that victim to come that's not watching, that's not prepared. And the crocodile, before the victim knows, has got it. But he don't devour it right there. What's he do? He takes it to the deep. He takes it to the deep. And he keeps taking it to the deep. Until the waters have come over the victim. That's what the enemy does. And if you think the enemy is not patient, you're mistaken. He'll wait until there is a vulnerable moment, and he'll come and he'll try to snatch your soul. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. I'm trying to preach for us to be aware. Because the enemy is always laying some kind of snare. He's always out there at the brink of the water when we're thirsty and when we're dry and we're needing a drink. But there's that time we get so thirsty and we're needing that drink that we're not watching. We need to get a drink, but we need to be watching and waiting and prepared at all times, because the enemy is always out there ready to devour you. Ready to take you in. We're ready to drown you in the waters and maybe do that little crocodile roll, whatever it is they do. We've got to be careful. And this is the state of mind that David was in at this time. He realized that. We've got to realize that the enemy is out there. The Bible says, be not ignorant to Satan's devices. We don't need to glorify him ever, but we sure don't need to be ignorant to what he can do. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You know, the Bible says that joy comes in the morning. A lot of us lazy Christians, it's hard to get up sometimes. I don't know you guys, so y'all can't see what she's talking about me. But a lot of times us lazy Christians, We don't want to get up and commune with our Lord in the morning. We don't want to start our day out with Him because there's too many things I need to get done. Well, you're missing out on a whole lot of joy because the Bible says joy comes in the morning. And you know, and I've heard a lot of people say, when you get up, you put your armor on. I'm here to tell you, never take it off. Because the enemy is also there while you're sleeping. But you know who else is there? The Bible says that our God sings over us when we rest. Have y'all ever thought about that? Our God singing over us while we rest? Whenever you wake up and the joy is in your heart and there's a song on your heart, just know that the Lord has probably been singing over you while you sleep. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And David began to realize this. He began to realize, I don't have to be down and I don't have to be depressed because I know my joy comes in the morning. I know my God is singing over me at night when I'm resting. Praise God, I have a hope. Praise God, I have a hope. Amen. I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? My. He just declared who God is and what God can do. And now he's saying again, why have you forgotten me, God? I call this the yo-yo effect. I'm sure y'all have heard of it. We walk through our Christian walk and we're on a high and we're up and everything's awesome and joyful and we're so happy and we want to tell the world, and then all of a sudden something happens and then we're done. God just doesn't care anymore. He's not been there for me. If God was so awesome and so mighty, why is this going on in my life? I am telling you, you're getting strengthened. Just hang on. But you can see all through Psalms where the psalmist, whichever one it was that was writing it, but they would be up, they would be down. They would get up, and they would be down. But you know what Psalms 150 is all about? Praising. At the very end of the Psalms, he finally gets it. If there's ever anything that's going to change in my life, if I'm ever going to be anything for the Lord, I've got to realize I've got to pray through the circumstance. I've got to praise my way through the trials. And I've got to remember from where comes my help. Amen. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. And whenever I got to looking at that, it talks about a pain that is like a crushing. A sword to my bones is a pain that is crushing my bones. It's crushing my, to the very, the very inner being of who I am. It's a murder cry even. It's a slaughter when it talks about a sword in my bones. While they say daily unto me, where is thy God? While they say unto me daily, where is thy God? You know who I think of when I hear that? I think of Job's friends. Do y'all know who Job's friends are? It's those friends that come along and say, well, if your God was so good, why are you going through this? If your God is so good, why are you having all the financial trouble that you're having right now? If your God is so good, why have you been vexed with some kind of disease? If your God is so good, it's those Job friends that come along every now and then to try to tear you down and try to taint the image of who God it truly is in your life. They're trying to tear down who the majestic being of who God is. You will always have those naysayers, but what you've got to learn to do is just turn a deaf ear to that. Hold up the shield of faith so when the fiery darts come, all they can do is bounce off that shield. Amen? It's important to be clothed with the full armor of God. Always. Not just when you get up. Not just when your feet hit the floor. I don't want the devil trembling when my feet hit the floor. I want the devil trembling 24/7. I don't want to let down no standard when I go to sleep. I want the enemy fearing and trembling because of the God, the one true God that lives at large on the inside of me 24/7. Amen. If I'm snoring, I want him trembling. Amen? We should put the enemy on the run. How have we got to be the kind of people that sit there and take it? So many Christians today, they just sit there and take whatever comes and they think to themselves, I've just got to be meek and mild. You know what? That doesn't mean just sit down and taking it, being meek and mild. We've got to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. We've got to stand up against what the devil tries to say that we are, because he's a liar and there's no truth in him. When the devil says no, the Lord says yes. Amen? When the devil's tried to tell you you're a pathetic nothing, a nobody, guess what? He's the pathetic puke. Can I be that real? All right. Turn it around on him. He wants to tell you're nothing. He's nothing. Anything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and I promise you if it's negative, it's a lie. Because the Word of God says all good things come from above. Amen? Amen. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. If you want your countenance to change, have you seen people that's been depressed? Matter what anybody says, doesn't matter anybody's trying to encourage them. I'm not trying to make light of a real situation, but what I'm saying is we've got to remember who God is. And if we want our countenance to change, if we want the joy to shine through, we've got to remember to praise through our situation and through the circumstance. Amen. He realized this. David realized, who is the health of my countenance? You want a healthy countenance? It's imperative to praise. It's imperative to remember where your help comes from. And that's not separating yourself and isolating yourself. That's coming together with your family of God. Amen? That's being faithful to the house of God. There's so many things that we can wrap up in that. But praise, faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Let's be faithful. There's a scripture in 1 Peter. Let's go there. First Peter 5. Going to start in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. Amen. We've got to be always watching. Come to the water. Yes, come to the water. Yes, get a drink. My soul pants. The heart panteth after the water brook. So my soul pants after you, O God. Get hungry and get thirsty for the living water. But always be watching. He would have never known what it was to be to pant if he hadn't have got away from the presence of God. I think this is a beautiful scripture, and I think the song is beautiful. But it saddens me to know that for him to be able to write this, that he got to a very depressed state of mind. Yeah. Let's get thirsty
Let's go to the water and get a drink. But always watching. Amen?
Amen. Brother Stone.